Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
One of the best in the business and always does great work, Tommy McCarthy. T-Mac, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much. You know, you've got a National League playoff game tonight. I got Ohio State this week. It's all good.
Oh, no big deal. No big deal.
This is another week for the two guys in the business. By the way, I've heard on radio so much of you in the past since the playoffs began, because when I'm driving back from practice, you're on. You've been phenomenal on the radio side, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm lucky that I'm able to do it, quite honestly, Steve, because, you know, most TV guys, and this has always been good for the Phillies, I mean, with the Phillies, because Harry did it before, and so did, you know, Wheels and Andy Musser, but, you know, they give me the opportunity to do this, which I'm really grateful for, to be quite honest with you.
Well, it sounds terrific. Zach Wheeler is one of those guys, it seems, regular season, postseason, it doesn't seem to me, he understands what he's doing, but it doesn't seem to matter to him in terms of approach. Am I reading him right from a distance?
I think you're absolutely right about that. I think that he has the makeup that he can get through any of this stuff. And, you know, we've seen him sort of mature right before our eyes when it comes to his playoff his playoff abilities, because, you know, obviously he didn't do it with the Mets. He was left off the roster the 1 year that he got there with the Mets. And, you know, for him, he kind of takes regular season approach into the postseason, and it's exactly the same way.
And that's a big part of it, because you have certain guys that are like that. Texas has a guy in Nathan Eovaldi who's been like that. He seems in the postseason, he's fine. You know, John Lester was like that. Clayton Kershaw isn't. See, that's the thing that I always find interesting. Certain guys are not, yet Wheeler is.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is, honestly, because Kershaw, to me, and I don't know him, but from a distance, seems like he has the ability to slow the game down, no matter what the situation is. Yeah. And that, to me, is odd that he has struggled the way he has struggled during the course of, you know, his postseason career. You know, every time he goes out there, I mean, he's had so many opportunities, you sit there and think, well, this is, you know, Dodgers have the advantage here, but they don't. And I think you have to, anytime he's pitching, and I know he hates when they lean back to this, but they have to lean back to it, because it's just odd to see how he struggles so much.
One of the interesting moves is to play Rojas in center field, because he's like Maldonado behind the plate for the Astros. He doesn't give you anything with the bat. But that catch he made on Acuna, what is it about his ability to judge and run the right route that makes him a really good center fielder?
Well, instinctively, and it's funny, because last week in Atlanta, I introduced Doug Glanville to him, and I think he's a lot like Doug Glanville, and maybe he's even going to be a little, maybe he's going to be better than Doug, but I think he's a lot like Doug in the way he reads the ball off the bat, and I think that's the key. So I listened to the two of them discuss their pre-pitch setup that they have. And it was really cool to listen to how he was dealing with what kind of pitch was being thrown, where the pitch was being thrown, and how he was setting up and moving even before the pitch gets to the plate. And that's what Doug was talking about that he used to do, that he thought gave him such an advantage over everybody else. So to me, that is where his success rate is at the highest level. I mean, he's 1-for-17. But you don't even realize it, because he has made several very good plays, including that one, which he misjudged at first, but was able to overcome it because of his abilities.
Yes, no, that's exactly right. He actually did misjudge it originally, and he still made the play. On a team that has star power, and the Phillies have plenty of it, with JT, with Harper, with Schwarber, Castellanos is a star, Stott is emerging. What have you seen in Castellanos that allows him to rise to the moment, and what have you seen in the development of Bryson Stott?
Well, I think Bryson is, you know, you and me both know that the key to any team from a championship standpoint is to have homegrown guys.
Yep.
So the fact that the Phillies have Bohm and Stott doing what they're doing is huge, and Rojas is huge. But I just think this is the normal ascension of somebody, but it's just quicker. for Bryson Stott, I think. Mm-hmm. I just think he's, in some ways, like Rojas, there's an instinct to him that he totally understands that he's able to gather before a pitch comes in. I mean, the fact he's made this transition so fluidly from shortstop to second base is, I think, fantastic. I think it's unbelievable. And that, to me, is great. And then the two-strike approach, we asked him the other day, well, what kind of two-strike approach do you have? He said, well, I don't really have one. He said, it's basically my same approach all the time. And then Castellanos, I just think that he went through a funk the second half of the year. He's figured some things back out again, and I think that's why his success level has been so high in the postseason. And I also think he's got a fairly calm heartbeat, which is really important when it comes to games like this. It's kind of like what we're talking about with Zach Wheeler.
In the American League Championship Series, you have two managers in Bruce Bochy, who's won three times, and you have Dusty Baker, who won last year. They're two guys that manage a lot by feel, because we all know the influence of analytics. How would you categorize Rob Thompson and Torrey Lovello as to their approach to managing?
Well, I think one is probably closer to the analytics side in Torrey Lovello.
Yep.
I think the other is probably closer to Dusty Baker and Bruce Bochy in Rob Thompson. Now, he does not brush aside numbers. He does have numbers, but it's more of his numbers and his research with the help of the analytics department, the R&D department. But I remember earlier this year, Torrey Lovello, you know, Zach Gallen, who's starting tonight, was pitching against the Phillies, and he was going 5 2/3, and he was cruising. Like, he had maybe struggled a little bit with pitch count, but he was still in perfect line to get through the sixth inning, possibly pitch in the seventh inning. They're leading the game. Well, it turns out the Phillies come back and win the game, and I actually think it's because he was looking at the analytic part of the game, and that's why he took Zach Gallen out of the game. So I think he leans more toward it. Nothing wrong with it. That's his style. Whereas Rob, I think, leans more toward the feel thing.
And the feel part of it is I thought Rob, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, I felt like he used some of his top relievers earlier in games in high-leverage situations.
No doubt.
Because he didn't want it to get away. Am I right about that?
Yeah, no doubt. He didn't want the momentum to swing to the other team. He wanted to thwart it right where it was. And he even admitted to that, you know, he would bring in, you know, Jeff Hoffman because he didn't want the inning to get away. You know, he brought in Alvarado in the seventh inning one game because he just wanted to make sure that heart of that lineup was taken care of. So, yeah, I think that's how he's doing. He's not doing it because the numbers tell him to do it. He's doing it because he feels like that's what he has to do.
This is the third round for each team. So everyone, you know, over the years, you know, guys would ask you and me about playoff experience and what it means. Mm-hmm. When you're playing so many rounds and now this is the third round, is that playoff experience part valid or is it now out the door?
I do think there's some validity to it, but I also think it's validity when you're playing, let's say, here compared to somewhere else. Like, I know that they've tried to replicate the sound here at the ballpark, but even Torrey Lovello said, you know, we probably made it at a 6 where we had to make it a 10 because you can't replicate it. You just can't. And, you know, Zach Gallen's from here. He understands it. He's a huge Eagles fan, so he knows what it's like at the Link. Yep. Merrill Kelly, who's pitching tomorrow, did for a time live outside of Philadelphia. In fact, his brother is a Phillies fan. So he kind of understands it, but doesn't. He pitched in Korea. It was loud there, but not like this. So I do think the experience does weigh, even in this situation, but maybe not as much as it would have early on.
Because I was listening, coming back from the Penn State football practice, and you were talking about the fans doing the mock chop and that the crowd is just unbelievable because they just think so differently than other fan bases.
They do. They have all these things, and it's almost like they have a meeting, like they have this board meeting beforehand where they all say to themselves, hey, listen, we're going to do this, and the rest of you 35,000 have to do it as well.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And not only that, it's clever. I mean, the stuff is clever. It's not one of those, like, you know, we made something up and it's really stupid. It's clever.
Yes, I agree with that. And, you know, I mean, for us, it makes us chuckle. It does. but it's just, it, it's it's majestic in some ways how they're able to coordinate all of it. It really is, and how one picks up right after the other.
My friend, enjoy it as always. Brilliant work as always, and thanks a lot for your time today, especially on game day, to talk to us.
You got it, buddy. Be good. I'll see you probably next week for Indiana.
Oh, you got the Indiana game? Oh, great.
Sounds like I do. Yeah, it sounds like I do. I'm trying to, you know, juggle the football, baseball type of thing because it would be game one of the World Series, but I'm going to try to figure that part out. So.
Something tells me you'll make it work. It's a noon game. That helps.
Yeah, that does help.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see you, Steve.